Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with us even on this day right after the winter solstice. Thank you, Kenny, for being here this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I guess that makes it the first full day of astronomical winter.
Okay. But it's also the day that we all know it's the light is coming back. That's the main piece.
Yeah, we tell ourselves that. We're in denial because, you know, it gets colder, too, for another month on average. Until we get to mid-January. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's the reason this day is celebrated around the world and for millennia, because it does signal kind of the darkest day and you start returning to the light slowly at first, but then it picks up speed.
Light might be more important than heat at this point anyway. Speaking of heat, we've had some really interesting weather this December, which I know you just wrote about in a blog that was super informative. But the upshot is we're about to have a big old precip event, but very little snow, if any. Tell us a little bit about what's coming.
Yeah, that is right. So I guess the basics are that imagine that normally in winter you have cold air streaming or pouring down into North America, right into the United States. And by cold air, I mean, effectively, you've got winter coming down into the United States, well established in Minnesota, usually by this time of year. And that cold air then kind of is what does the job of making sure that any precipitation that does fall, falls as snow. Now, also, typically, during the winter time, you have most of the moisture that could be used to produce snow is out over either the Pacific Ocean, which makes it a little hard to get to us, or it's stored up over the Gulf of Mexico. And it usually stays to our south. And then when a low pressure system forms somewhere around the Rocky Mountains and starts moving east, it brings those two different masses together. The cold air that's already in place, it brings it together with the moisture, and you end up getting, you know, that's how we get our snowstorms, quite simply. This year, the cold air, and I'm not kidding, it's at least 1,500 miles off to our north. And I mean, it's 1,500 miles off to the north of the international border with Canada, and maybe even 2,000. I mean, it's in like far northern Canada right now. So it's nowhere near established in our part of the country. Now, the moisture is pretty intense, but it's been confined to the far southern United States for most of the last month and a half. We did have some precipitation, I guess it was last weekend, but you know, we've been pretty dry in Minnesota for most of the last 6 weeks, and most of the moisture for precipitation has been off in far southern U.S. Sometimes it's been on the East Coast, sometimes it's been in the western United States, but it's also been about 1,000 miles from us most of the time. Now, in this condition, and by the way, having those air masses split like that is kind of a signature of El Nino. But in any case, in this situation, what's happening is we're getting low pressure system is forming just like it would in any other winter. It's going to form on the east side of the Rockies. It's going to take a nice little path through the Midwest and then hook into Iowa and northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. And it's actually a pretty good path for producing snow over Minnesota. But the thing is, in this particular case, the cold air that would help it snow is nowhere to be found. I mean, it is still 1,500 to 2,000 miles away. Even as this weather system matures and its circulation increases and you start getting faster winds, it's really not going to be able to tap into very much cool air at all. So instead, what's going to happen is clouds and kind of mild air will first overspread the region. And then as that low pressure system approaches, even warmer air will move in. Temperatures are going to soar tomorrow and then into Sunday morning into the 40s and maybe even the 50s. I mean, there could be 50 degree temperatures not far from the North Shore by Sunday. And that kind of wild.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's going to happen, because this is coming out of the south and it's coming with southerly flow, meaning the winds are also coming from the south, is the temperatures at night are not going to back down very much at all. So you know, something that's really unusual to do during any time of winter is going to be kind of a region-wide phenomenon, which is that we're going to spend probably a full day in most of, if not all of Minnesota, certainly in the northeastern part of the state, we're going to spend a full day above freezing. In southern Minnesota, we're probably looking at more like 96 hours of continuously above freezing conditions. It already began. We stayed above freezing all night already through southern Minnesota, and we're probably not going to go back below freezing until sometime on Tuesday. So just a massively warm storm, and then it's coming with all this moisture. It's going to bring in quantities of moisture that are more typical in early November or late October or maybe in March. And so it's going to have these warm, muggy dew points. You're going to have rain spreading over the region. There's probably going to be some embedded thunderstorms. I don't know if everyone's going to hear thunder, but there almost certainly will be lightning and thunder somewhere in Minnesota at probably more than one time over the next few days, especially tomorrow, Saturday, and into early Sunday. And then after that, there's just going to be what we call wraparound precipitation, as that storm doesn't really go anywhere. So it's going to rain more. And then maybe, even though there's no access to the really cold air, there are these dynamic processes within low pressure systems that can kind of, we call it mechanically generate. They can, just through the brute force of the physics at work, they can cool the air enough with evaporation and with some of the rising and falling motions that they, we might actually see some snow in some part of Minnesota as we get late in Christmas or onto Tuesday, but that's not even guaranteed. And that would be a very wet snow because the temperatures, they're going to remain pretty high, possibly still above freezing in some places. And it looks like the next week, even though the temperatures will be lower, they're still going to be above normal. And we're going to finish December way, way, way up there historically. We're going to be close to number one, maybe even number one in some places in terms of warmest December on record. So that is, that's what we're looking at.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that synopsis. Is the winter air, the cold Arctic air, likely to just stay up wherever it is, 2,000 miles away for the rest of the winter?
So we got asked this question yesterday in a media interview, and I would have to say that that's very hard to guarantee. There have been enough times where, you know, you start out with a really warm winter and it's El Nino influenced. And then you end up with a U-turn and really sharp winter conditions. There have been extremes of that, like in 2018 and 19, where we didn't really have winter until mid-January. And then we had record-breaking snows in February, and nobody would remember that winter as one that didn't happen. So we always want to be careful about, you know, promising that what we're observing now is going to continue. I would say that this pattern, you know, being in an El Nino situation, it's certainly more likely to have the winter dominated by kind of mild conditions than a typical sort of winter weather pattern would be. And that's even when you factor in the way that the climate has changed in recent decades. El Nino just makes it a little bit more likely. But when we look back at almost every major El Nino event we've experienced has had an interlude that included, you know, sub-zero temperatures, snow that accumulates and sticks around for a while, and, you know, at least a couple or a few decent winter weather events. There's really only one or two winters on record that never actually had any of that. And those are really rare, and they're not even always El Nino winters. So I think we got a good chance of breaking this pattern at some point, even if overall the winter is dominated by, warm and snowless conditions.
Okay. Great. Well, it's really helpful to at least understand what's happening, even if we don't necessarily like it. And I know there is a lot of people, especially maybe people that are older, that have really appreciated being able to get around this winter. So that is definitely a silver lining to what's happening. And we'll just see what it's like to have a big old rainstorm on Christmas this year, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly happened before. The last one that was kind of like this was in 1982-83, which was also a El Nino winter. I mean, we've actually had winter rains a lot recently, so they're becoming more common. But the Christmas rain, heavy Christmas rain, we're actually going back to another year that was like this, which was a big El Nino year.
Yeah,
people do like not having to, you know, drive through snow and slip on their behinds when they're walking. And so, I mean, there are some benefits, but I think winter recreation is suffering, as you know, and we kind of like that snow freshened landscape, and we're just not getting any of that right now.
Yep.
But yeah, enjoy being above freezing. It's quite a thaw. The official forecast has two harbors actually remaining above freezing. Wow, right in through Sunday.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's quite a run.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Kenny, and have a wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you next week.
You also. Yeah, thanks a lot, Katya. Happy holidays, everyone.
Bye-bye. Kenny Bye-bye. Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits come to us every week. What a guy. We're so lucky to have him.